Hi, this is Dan Digman.
And hi, it's me, Jennifer Digman.
And we're a couple takes on MS. I'm walking.
And I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. Welcome to this is the second episode of our podcast. And what we're going to talk about today is anger and MS.
And frustration and MS.
And I mean, one leads to the other. Frustration leads to anger. Anger leads to frustration and vicious circle of
everything. Emotion.
Yes, yes. Totally. Totally. But we will talk about that today with multiple sclerosis. But this is, we're coming up at the end of MS Awareness Week, which is kind of what's cool is that it's like the beginning of MS Awareness Month. So the awareness part never ends, but really does it when you're living with this disease.
And it doesn't feel like a week or a month is long enough to recognize the life that we're living with multiple sclerosis.
We're dealing with it every day. And I think, you know, a lot of times when we talk about multiple sclerosis, I feel like we are trying to spread awareness all year round.
Spread awareness all year round. And it was interesting that we were having a support group meeting recently, and I said something about Happy MS Awareness Week. And one of the members of the group said, "What's happy about it?" And I was dumbfounded because you're right, for her, for so many of us, what is happy about MS Awareness Week? So how do you handle that?
And how do you celebrate, as it were? And I know that I've seen a few other places on social media where people are, you know, living with the disease, and they're just like, I'm not this disease. And how we, when we talk about it and we're forced to talk about it and celebrate it for this 1 week. And I think I totally get it. But I'm also from the standpoint that it's like, this gives us the reason to talk about it. This gives us, I don't want to say the excuse, but it's like it's there. And I mean, we just happen to talk about it, well, all the time. We have a blog, we have now a podcast. And so we talk about it. And I think it's just to increase that awareness. I'm obviously, yeah, to educate the community, but also to get it out there. So for people, when they're newly diagnosed, to see that, you know, this isn't the end.
It's not the end. And even for family members who have a child diagnosed or as someone who has a spouse, just to see that life goes on after an MS diagnosis. And yes, it's a chronic progressive neurological condition, but life continues and you can learn how to incorporate MS in your life, and you don't have to make MS your whole life. It's a big part of who you are, but it's not the only thing.
And it is the awareness. I mean, when there's, the local paper does a story about you, and then you see the people commenting on the newspaper's Facebook and the people who are liking the story and everything, you have no idea who they are, which then makes me feel better that it's not just our family and friends that see and read the story. It's increasing that awareness so that people, when they're diagnosed or they know somebody who has the disease, they can refer them to different things, different resources, so they don't feel so alone in such an isolating disease.
Absolutely. And that's why it's important to celebrate, if you want to call it celebrate, grab yourself a beer, some party hats and a streamer, celebrate MS Awareness Week and MS Awareness Month, because not everyone is living with multiple sclerosis, and it is a big, big inconvenience or a big issue in our life, and it's worthy of being recognized. I think maybe that's the better word, is we don't celebrate, we recognize just what we're dealing with and that there's nearly 1 million Americans dealing with it.
So 1 million Americans, 2.3, how many worldwide?
Yeah, 2.3 million.
2.3 million.
So it is important, and we did that, so we wanted to just recognize MS Awareness Week and the color orange, which coincidentally is my husband's favorite color.
How do you feel about that? Because we've talked about this, that when we were both diagnosed with MS, the color of the MS Society was red, mm-hmm. which is your favorite color. And then when they pushed it to orange, I was like, that's my favorite color.
And I am perfectly fine with my favorite color not being associated with this damn disease. So that's money for me, where I'm like, I don't look at red and see multiple sclerosis. I look at red and see beauty. And not that orange is not a beautiful color and it shouldn't be your favorite color, but you're different from me. You can detach the two. But I'm a little small-minded like that, where I'm like, why does my favorite color have to be associated with that disease? No, 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 not anymore.
So shall we get started? I mean, as we talk about this, let's make the transition from like red, orange, and anger.
And that's perfect. And I think it's important to welcome our producer, Ryan, into the conversation, because I'm sure he has plenty of...
I so thought you were, when you were talking about anger leads to hate, like, and I was like, he's doing the Yoda quote, and then you didn't. I'm like, what's happening?
I'm sorry, clue me in, what's the Yoda quote?
Anger leads to hate, hate leads to something, something leads to suffering or something like that.
Oh.
Or, yeah, like I knew fear leads to hate, hate leads to, yeah, whatever. I messed it up, but it's,
oh,
yeah.
No, that's okay.
Like you started the same way and then you didn't end it. And so I was just like, oh, Yoda, and then I was going to pop in, but then I couldn't remember exactly what it was either.
This is perfect.
Yeah.
So now that we've discussed our favorite colors, what's your favorite color, Ryan?
Blue.
Blue.
Always has been. I don't know. Probably because like when I was a kid, my eyes were even crazier than they are now. Brighter blue, and they've been faded a little bit, but I always got the, oh, such pretty blue eyes, and like I just by nature just sort of started enjoying the color.
Okay, that's interesting.
Not associated with anything terrible that I can think of
yet.
Yeah,
I was just gonna say not yet, but
if you use it in food photography, it makes people a little like off put, but that's the only thing I know bad about blue. Same, it kind of reminds you of mold or whatever, so.
Yeah, that's
why, like, McDonald's and Burger King and all that are red and yellow and orange. Like, there's no blue fast food.
I never really thought about that. Culver's.
Culver's is
blue.
Oh,
that's right. They are blue, aren't they? Yeah. That's why I don't eat there.
I've never eaten there either. I've heard it's, like, the most delicious and we've
delicious
had.
Delicious burgers,
yeah. I've had their food, and they have these things called concrete mixers that are, like, shakes, like, super thick shakes that they can turn upside down or whatever.
Anything with ice cream cannot be bad.
Yeah.
No, it can't.
Yeah. And I mean, they're still in business, so obviously the blue isn't affecting them that much.
No.
Cool.
Now I'm thinking ice cream and burgers, and how can I be angry?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, I got a Burger King shake the other day for the first time in forever. I was bringing grandma back from hospital thing, and she just like hadn't eaten in a day and a half because she had to wait like overnight for the thing. Mm-hmm. And her favorite thing in the world is chocolate, and that's usually what I get her whenever I drop by and give her anything. And ran through Burger King, it's like, let's get chocolate shakes. She just like had the bandage over her nose from this biopsy thing, and so her voice sounded weird. She's like, oh yeah.
So good. Chocolate is so good. It just, yeah. And that's interesting, like a coping mechanism for me when I'm super angry is just like, give me something to calm me down. And I can't get a stiff drink right in the instant. So a little piece of chocolate, that'll just like.
It's like.
Yes. So what about MS and anger, Mr. Digman?
Well, Mrs. Digman, we were talking about this week. And I don't know if it's something where the smallest things can just set us off. And it's like you can just be having the happiest of days and things are going just so perfectly. And then one little thing happens or one little thing is said and it's just rant and tirade and anger. And you feel your blood starting to boil inside you. And it's never been that way. And I don't know, has it always been that way with MS, with your MS?
So as far as anger, I think as my disease has progressed, and if I'm honest.
Well, we want honesty here. That's what we do, love.
I realize, but it feels kind of, I worry. As my disease has progressed and I've watched other people whose disease hasn't progressed, and I don't begrudge anyone, But sometimes that even makes me angry. But as my disease has progressed, I think my anger is a little closer to the surface. And certainly there are those moments when you're just like, oh, good Lord, you know, everything is, take a deep breath, and even a deep breath won't help you. Do you know what I mean? Like your 5-second rule, if you drop something on the floor, which you shouldn't do anymore because that's just gross, but you take a 5-second rule, like don't spout off, just take a deep breath, and 5 seconds doesn't even come close to getting you calmed down.
I don't know. Or maybe does it have anything to do with the length of time we've had the disease and living with, like, you know, for 20 plus years, I've been optimistic. I've been positive. I've, you know, lived positively. You know, I don't know if you realize how much it drains on you over time, just what you deal with the disease and the things that you can't do.
I'm with you. It's almost like you use so much energy to put on a brave face and to make it look like everything's okay, that you're so exhausted that you have to cope with how well you're coping. Do you know what I mean? Where it's just like, I want to fly off the handle and I want to be irrational. I think I deserve that. But then if I take that 5 seconds and I'm like, okay, don't do that. But you know, with you the other day, I just flew off the handle and I was like, you know, where you feel so bad. But, and then half an hour later, you're like, what the heck were you so angry about?
Sometimes it's like when I get angry like that and I start just going off and, you know, just for everybody out there, I'm not, you know, and we have that understanding. We're never mad at each other. It's the disease. It's what we're dealing with. But just like mid rant or something, it's like in your head, you're saying, what the heck are you, this isn't a big deal. Why are you getting so angry? But then it's just like, you've got to finish. You've got to like, just get it out. And I think that it is, it's not that you feel like you deserve an award for this, but you think that because you're coping so well, you shouldn't have to take on any more stuff. You've already shown that, hey, I can live with this. We're doing it. We're dealing with it. And then just boom, something clicks. And it's just like, or it's like pushing over. So it's like all of a sudden that which is the anger that you've held back for so long, it's just like that one thing just like opens the floodgates and you just release everything.
Once the floodgates are open and you release everything, do you feel better?
No, you feel bad because it's like, that's not me.
Producer note from Ryan. The next segment, we started talking about ways to combat stress but never actually introduced the segment. So that's what we're talking about now.
And so I play euchre. I'm from Michigan. If you're not from Michigan, you may not play euchre often, but it's like lifeblood here in the state, shaped like a hand. And so I'm playing a hand of euchre. And the damn computer, I swear, is fixed. And I'm like, seriously, how are you going to go alone and you're going to get every single trick because you have every card and I have a total farmer's hand? And I'm like, that's rude. And I'm trying to stress relief and I'm getting angry at a computer game. And so it's that pointless frustration where I'm like, why are you getting so mad? But I'm like, because it's fixed. I'm like, that is so not fair. And I deal with multiple sclerosis and every single day I'm like, that is so not fair. When I get to the bathroom 2 seconds too late, and if you're dealing with MS and bladder issues, you know what I'm talking about. Or when I'm trying to open a bottle and I can't do it because I have dexterity issues and my hands work for poop. And I'm just like, I deal with frustration so often and it's just those little things. What about you, Dan? What about you, Ryan?
I'm just mesmerized, enamored, because you started talking about like just stress relief and relieving stress and stuff. And then you barrel into euchre. I was thinking, dude, that causes you the most stress.
But yeah, I was thinking the exact same thing because I'm an avid video game player. And yes. Like, video games did used to be set up to just drain your quarters. So they were impossible a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. But now it's like with playing games online with people, I'm like, yeah, but he's a hacker. He has to be. There's no way he's that much better than me at this video game.
And he's probably like half. 12, yeah.
A third of my age, you know, probably.
Yeah. Yes. And it just hurts. Yeah. So what about you, Dan? What relieves your stress?
Well, music, and this is like common theme, but it's just, you know, just stepping away and just not being in whatever situation, circumstances, like just, you know, the deep breath, that just stopping and just going through your head. Why are you angry? Is it worth it? Move on. And by the time you have that conversation in your head, you forget what you were so upset about. I think I had this conversation with you. If I go into it thinking it's going to be quick, easy, over and done, and it's not, that infuriates, well, you know, that just makes me so mad.
Yeah.
But if I go into a thing where it's, I know it's going to be challenging, and it can cause so many complications and so frustrating things, I don't get upset because I went into it knowing it was going to be a challenge and that you had to be up for it. And I just think so often you try to keep things, I don't know, easy in your life. And it's just like, and so then things that should be easy, and when they're not, boom.
Yeah. And I know, Ryan, you were telling us earlier that just simple little like frustration. Would you mind sharing that story?
I have so many. I'm like the king of getting pointlessly frustrated over stuff. It's the little pile on, like with my anxiety and sort of stuff. I wake up some days and it's like, oh geez, I'm already at the threshold. Just like anything's just going to push me past. One of the more recent ones is like, I've been having car issues lately because my car is getting, you know, like 11 years old or whatever. And you know, it's a good car, but some stuff's starting to go wrong. That's, if it wasn't so German over-engineered VW bullcrap, this wouldn't have been a problem.
Right.
Because of what it is. And yeah, I know that is like a gripey gripe, but it's just like, if you need a car for your job, which I have before, and every time you hit the key, it does that same sequence of beeps to let you know, hey, your car is so broken.
Yes. And that is one of those things when you're living with multiple sclerosis. Sometimes my body, and I'm sure Dan feels the same way, where you're just like, your body is beeping, you are so broken.
Right, yeah.
And so you wake up and you just, there are days where I wake up and I'm just instantly frustrated. And I've had this recurring dream, if I can just talk quickly. Now keep in mind, I've been in a wheelchair for 19 years. Like maybe 3 days ago, I had a dream where I was spinning and I'm driving really fast, and all I'm trying to do is jump out of my wheelchair, like fall out. And I mean, I know that that's just, I'm screwed. Pardon my expression. I hate that language, but I'm just like, the only thing I can do is fall out of my wheelchair to make it stop spinning. And so I have this sort of bad dream, and then I wake up and I start my day in the hole a little bit because I didn't sleep well. I'm a little anxious because I had a bad dream. And like, I don't know where you start the day in the hole, and it just, you're already at a little bit of a anger point. I don't know, Dan, do you ever feel like that when you start the day?
Oh, totally. I think you, and how do you recover? How do you, and it's like, even if you had something good happen in the morning, you are so set back. You don't know how to do it or how to get out of it. It's like a funk.
Totally, like a funk. And you know that there will be better days, or give it an hour, give it a good cup of coffee, which is like counterintuitive if you're dealing with bladder issues. But if you just give it some time, you will get out of that funk. But there are a lot of things that can help with anger and frustration. But there's, you know, that can be stress or anxiety. It's just, you, maybe you're angry because of depression, or you're angry because of your inability to do the things that you used to do. because of the MS. And I know for me, I'm not really using my right hand very well anymore.
And that's interesting because you're right-handed.
Yes.
Does that make it worse for you? I mean, just in the sense that, do you feel like you're handcuffed?
Isn't that an interesting expression?
Yeah, that's clever. Do you think of that one ahead of time, or is that just that?
Oh, that's spur of the moment there, dude.
Nice. I'm very handcuffed because I am right-handed, but I'm impressed by my ability to do things with my left hand.
And I think, is that something where we get frustrated, we get angry because there are those shortcomings, those faults, those things we can't do anymore, and you know it's not, and this is a depressing thought, but we're being honest, but is that just like where that's not going to change? We're living with the disease. I think this is an interesting thing, and as long as we're being honest, I mean, just that your caregiver, Jen, that you guys go to the store, you buy things, you bring things home, containers, bottles, whatnot, that Jen knows some of the things she opens because she knows I'm going to have a hard time with it because my hands are numb, my fingers are numb, I can't really handle things. And so, yeah, the plastic packaging and everything, just things that are so hard to grip. I mean, good God, we were doing we had the licorice the other day, and it's like a resealable bag, like the Ziploc kind of thing. I sat there for like 5 minutes just trying to get that zipper to catch, and you do. And I didn't get angry or frustrated because it's like, you know, I had my licorice. I'm good.
Hey, if the bag has to stay open, then you have to eat it also. It doesn't go stale. Well,
see? Exactly. But it's like I had, you know, eyes on the prize. I knew that it was there. I just needed to, although maybe had it taken me another minute, I would have gone crazy.
Yeah.
Because it's like that's the one thing that stood in the way of me eating that licorice that I got out.
Yeah, if the catch would have been on the other side where it was denying you licorice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Anger so much sooner.
Then you just start using teeth on the bag, right?
Well, you do. Because it's, you know, and that's the thing. It's like, it's our licorice. Nobody else is eating it. So it's just like, you know, we're not, you know, that's not a big problem. It's like, that's where it's always easier when it is just for you, you know, because you can use your teeth.
It's so cute. Dan will say, Jen, did you want any licorice? Because that's my caregiver. And she'll say, no. And so Dan will say, she doesn't want any. Okay. And then he'll use his teeth to open it. He'll double check. Like, nobody else is eating this. And if me, Jennifer, I don't mind. I kiss the man, for heaven's sakes. But it's just one of those where I don't think, it's not the licorice that gets you mad. It's the frustration. And then I think what frustrates me even more is just how simply watching Jen do it.
Yeah.
You know, or watching a healthy person do something. And I'm like, God, I miss that. Where you don't even remember. Oh, I used to be able to just zip a Ziploc bag and not even think about it.
Yeah.
And now I don't even. And what worries me is, I just was going to say it, I don't even try. Is that surrendering to the disease where you just stay in your lane. You know you can't close the Ziploc bag. Spend your energy elsewhere.
And that's a great question, because do you get to that point where it's no longer surrendering? But it depends on how you look at it. Are you surrendering, or are you realizing, knowing that this is going to make me upset and it's so not worth it? And so by your choice, you don't try to do it because you know you can't. I mean, I guess it'd be like me running. It's just like, I can't run, so it's just like, it's not worth getting upset anymore. It's like, I'll find other things. Like you say, you know, stay in your lanes, and this is what I can do. This is where I want to invest my energy. This is me, and you're comfortable with that.
Yeah, and another thing that can sometimes make me angry or offend me, and I'm sure other people with MS feel the same way, is I would be upset if people didn't ask me to do something. If they just automatically assume, oh, Jennifer has MS, we're not going to ask her to take notes at the meeting, or we're not going to ask her to type this up. I know this is hard for you, but it's like, no, I want to do it. And then when I do it and it is difficult, then I'm bitching to myself and muttering under my breath, why did I say I want to do this? This is way too hard for me. And so then I think that is a level of frustration that we carry with us all the time.
Because I don't ask you if you want to do things, or is that where over time you just understand that, that's just what I do, and that's, you know, and you don't do it, it's my expectation, or is that I do, or do you get, that was like true confession, do you get mad when I don't ask you?
There are moments, and I'm sure you've noticed, certainly when it comes to eating, when I make my little snide little comments like, I can do that, or, and I don't think any of us, it comes from like a evil place. Mm. You know, we want to be able to do stuff for ourselves. But I don't want to say, oh, Dan, I can do that. And then have you say, okay, fine, do it.
It's all you, dude.
Yeah. And then 2 seconds later or 10 seconds later, like the third bite is challenging. I need your help.
Or you do it yourself. You drop and make a mess. I'm the one that has to clean that up. And so how do we deal with that? And how do we?
And thus we're angry all the time. There's no sure answer, but that's the relationship between a caregiver and the person that's like you're helping. And that's why it's so important to leave that communication open and to be willing to bend. For as much as I need to be flexible and accept your help, you need to be flexible and accept my stubbornness that I want to keep trying.
Or you accept the reality that you do need to try. And it's like if we're eating, if there's macaroni and cheese, that's, you know, or just things that you know.
Like a salad.
Yeah, a salad you know will be challenging.
Soup. Oh, good heavens, soup is trouble.
Yeah, and or versus chicken tenders.
Yeah.
You know,
or pizza.
Pizza. I mean, those are things that you just know you can, but it's those things, the foods that are challenging. Sometimes we just know. Spaghetti. We just had spaghetti this week. Not the best of ideas and stuff, so we'll just, you know, I'll help you with that.
And so I think that constant just doing, where little frustrations can cause anger. And I think that's where, to use Spinal Tap as a reference, like this one goes to 11. Like I'm doing really good. And then, oh, I look at me, I can do it myself. And then soup goes everywhere, yeah. Or macaroni. So I think that those little frustrations that can make anger. And that's why it's really important to look for the different ways that you can deal with your anger better.
So for you, dealing with that sort of stuff, would you be more angry with yourself for having not tried, or just tried and failed? It seems like with me, I'd give it a shot, and if I mess it up, that would be really frustrating, but at least I gave it that shot. It seems like hanging on to that sort of stuff. But I'm stubborn.
I understand, Ryan. That's a good question. If it's something that I can't clean up or I can't fix, I don't want to, certainly,
oh, yeah,
you gotcha. Know, I don't want to make more work for Dan or right. for my caregiver, Jen. If I didn't like my caregivers, if I wanted to be a little stinker, like, yeah, I'd be like, oh, I can do it. I can do it. And I'd be really headstrong. Because like today, going out of the bathroom, I'm having a hard time turning light switches on and off. Mm-hmm. And Dan's like, I can get that. And just that little verbal cue of him, and it's a nice thing. I can get that. Don't worry about it. But I'm like, oh, challenge accepted. Get that left hand that is going to work. That's going to turn it off. And then when I turn it off, I'm like, I'm good for the day because I beat a light switch. So,
and I think it is. It's a daily challenge because when you have numb hands or when your arms aren't working, it's not like you can just table it, not worry about it for another day. It's like for every moment of functioning. I mean, we brush our teeth at night. It's like rarely do I hold the toothbrush and the toothpaste. I have to set the toothbrush down on the counter and then squeeze the toothpaste with both hands just so I have a good handle on it. Those little things that you don't even realize you do until you start thinking about it when you're hosting a podcast. You're just thinking, that's right, because I don't, or I know that, or like...
Or just the mere fact that we don't have standard toothbrushes anymore.
No.
Because neither one of us, dental hygiene is very important, and we were not brushing our teeth well. We weren't
getting the nooks and crannies.
No, so we got an electric toothbrush, and our dentist says we're doing a really good
gold
job.
Gold star, you get an
A+.
Here's a sucker. Oh, wait, no, that's okay.
Exactly.
Here's some sugar.
Exactly. So
we used to get like little rings. Little rings, or they were like little rubber erasers.
You would get to open like the treat bag, treasure chest.
Yes.
And they don't do that when you've hit your 40s.
They should.
I think that
would help with so much with our anger issues.
Yeah, just getting a surprise. But it is where I don't think we're succumbing to our multiple sclerosis. We're doing what's going to keep the quality of life. Like, my teeth aren't falling out of my head because I got an electric toothbrush. Yeah, I'm not going to spite myself. Just be like, dang it, I'm going to use a manual toothbrush and I'm not going to give in.
It's interesting, just as we talk about these things, a lot of the anger that we're talking about, it's like really it's the little nuances, just little things. I mean, are there any bigger things?
Like, I'm so angry at myself that, like, when you were able to use your arms and legs and walk, you didn't do it more.
Yeah.
And so that's, like, one thing I just want to say to my MS community brethren. Like, just do it while you can. Don't worry about, oh, I'm so tired. Yes, you're so tired, but you've got a lifetime to be so tired. Just, like, push yourself while you can.
You've got the ability to do it.
Because once you lose it, it's gone, and it's gone so fast. I certainly think as your disease progresses and you can find it easier to have those moods, those anger issues and mood swings. And I know I was concerned when I was first diagnosed just that I had heard things about how anger and mood swings and things can be attributed to multiple sclerosis. So as the disease progresses, could that be linked to MS, your anger and your frustration? And so I think that is something, there are resources all over the internet where if you are dealing with anger, because it is an important topic, we talked about just like the little daily annoyances. Yeah,
I was going to say, computer euchre and licorice Ziploc bags. But it is. I mean, really, all you would need to do out there in listener land is, Google MS and anger and the number of resources that come up. And we found a couple good articles, one from healthline.com, the other one from the National MS Society, just talking about mood swings, emotional issues with multiple sclerosis. And something that struck me was the article from the National MS Society. I'm reading this verbatim, so I'm citing my source in a true graduate school sort of way. But just as far as moodiness and irritability, that moodiness and irritability may manifest as rapid and generally unpredictable changes in emotions. Family members may complain about frequent bouts of anger or irritability. The increase in irritability and moodiness have multiple causes. Changes in your brain, challenges that come from living with MS, and depression. And what they say is that, whatever the cause, moodiness and irritability can be challenging aspects of MS from the standpoint of family life. Family counseling may be very important in dealing with these emotional changes. And I think that's the big thing, as we talked about the slight irritabilities and stuff, it's like these are things, and depression is a very real thing with MS. And so if you feel that you're encountering depression, I mean, you need to talk to people, talk to your medical professional and get help. I think that's just the big thing, is just to have it, because you're not in this disease alone.
As part of MS Awareness Week, one of my favorite things is to spread orange. And it's a silly thing that I can do to increase MS awareness, but I've enjoyed doing it, and that is with puffy Cheetos.
Oh, that was the best.
Cuties, orange candy, you know, anything to just get orange out there. And when Dan works, it's nice to give him a little break of puffy Cheetos, or we would get this sweet orange bread that was delicious, and that was part of raising awareness. And anything you can do to just make it visible. And a concrete orange is a great way to spread the word about MS awareness.
It sparks conversations. It gets people talking about it in that way, so they can address issues like talking about anger and multiple sclerosis, or happiness and multiple sclerosis, and just doing things to move forward. And that's what's nice, you know, as we're, you know, with MS Awareness Month for the month of March, and then coming March 28th.
That's Progressive MS Day. And I think that's really important, because so many of us living with the disease have a more progressive form. And March 28th recognizes people who have no longer have relapsing, remitting, and maybe in that secondary progressive stage. And also people that, since they've been diagnosed, have been living with primary progressive multiple sclerosis. So March 28th is Progressive MS Day.
And the other thing then is, once March is over, you know, our lives go on and we still have multiple sclerosis. So anything we can do to continue to increase awareness about multiple sclerosis, find resources to help people move forward with their disease. And that's why we really appreciate you taking the time to listen to our podcast, listen to our stories, listen to our perspectives. If you like us, please share it with other people. Please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Write a review. Let us know how we're doing. Let us know what you want to hear about. Let us know where you're coming from with your disease and dealing with MS and anger.
After you review us, be sure to check in with us and expect our next podcast will be April 8th. Oh my goodness, April 8th, the promise of spring. Woohoo!
I was going to say that by the time you hear this, I mean, spring will have happened. We will have sprung forward that much closer to baseball season opening day. Whether or not you like baseball, it's like, that's just a sign of summer.
Yeah,
and just like
crack the bat.
Summer's coming. Yeah, just yeah, it's there. And so follow us, you know, on our blog. It's coupletakesonms.com, and that can help get you connected to our podcast and our blog. Until next time, it's been Dan Digman
and Jennifer Digman,
and we're a Couple Takes on MS, and we will catch you next time. Take care.